ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम Canto 6, Chapter 1, Text 7, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Yeah, there's a logistical problem here. Some kind of problem, I'm not sure. Shishuku vacha na ched ihai va pachiting yatang hasa kritasya kuryan mana ukta pani bihi dhruvang savai pretya narakan upaiti ye kirtita me bhavatas tigma yatanaha. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami replied, "My dear king, if before one's next death, whatever impious acts one has performed in this life with his mind, words, and body are not counteracted through proper atonement, according to the description of the Manu Sanghita and other Dharma Shastras, one will certainly enter the hellish planets after death and undergo terrible suffering, as I have previously described to you." Purport. Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that although Maharaj Parikshit was a pure devotee, Shukadeva Goswami did not immediately speak to him about the strength of devotional service. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, "Vanchayovyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate." Devotional service is so strong that if one fully surrenders to Krishna and takes fully to his devotional service, the reactions of his sinful life immediately stop. Elsewhere in the Gita, Lord Krishna urges that one give up all other duties and surrender to him, and he promises, "Aham tvam sarva pape bhyo moksha yishami," I shall free you from all sinful reactions and give you liberation. End of translation of that Sanskrit. Therefore, in response to the inquiries of Parikshit Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami, his guru, could have immediately explained the principle of bhakti, but to test Parikshit Maharaj's intelligence, he first prescribed atonement according to Karma Kanda, the path of fruitive activities. For Karma Kanda, there are 80 authorized scriptures such as Manu Sanghita, which are known as Dharma Shastras. In these scriptures, one is advised to counteract his sinful acts by performing other types of fruitive action. This was the path first recommended by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. And actually, it is a fact that one who does not take to devotional service must follow the decision of these scriptures by performing pious acts to counteract his impious acts. This is known as atonement. Now, in this verse is mentioned. Anyway, I have to hold it to stop it falling down. So there's not much use of this. Now, in this verse, it is mentioned stated that the hellish planets await persons who perform sinful activities and do not counteract them. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that a person who takes the devotional service doesn't have to undergo this process of atonement. By the process of devotional service, in and of itself, is so powerful that it destroys all sinful reactions. And there are many scriptural evidences regarding this. Several of them have been collected and quoted by Srila Rupa Goswami near the beginning of his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Speaking on this verse, what's that? In Honolulu, Hawaii, United States of America, on June the 15th, 1975, Srila Prabhupada said, quoting from Bhagavad Gita, Raja Gohyang Pavitramidamutamam Kartam Avyayam. He quoted it like that. Srila Prabhupada continued to perform this activity. It doesn't require much energy, much austerity. Simply you join the Sankirtan movement and ecstasy, you dance, take prasadam. By this process you are guaranteed you will never go to the hellish planet. So this Sankirtan movement is so nice. Anyway, don't disbelieve, it is in the Shastra. So there are hellish planets, hellish birth, 8,400,000 species of birth. So we have to take information from the Shastra. Don't be foolish. As Srila Prabhupada often said, don't be foolish. This is a very grave situation being described here. Actually, this is at the beginning of the sixth canto. We find Parikshit Maharaj asking Shukadev about the descriptions in regard to the descriptions of the hellish planets, which are described at the end of the fifth canto. Of course, Shukadev, he didn't say, well, this is the fifth canto and I'm finishing it, and now we're starting the sixth canto, but it is divided like that later by Vyasadeva. So at the end of the fifth canto are descriptions of the hellish worlds, and in the beginning of the sixth canto, which I'm reading from today, Parikshit Maharaj first asked Shukadev that how can people be delivered from this, and Shukadev offers various means. Here he states that by performing atonement for one's sinful activities, one can be freed from suffering. Of course, Parikshit Maharaj, he understood that this isn't a very good solution, because someone who has the proclivity to perform sinful acts will go on doing so. So even though he may become freed from the results of sinful reactions by performing pious activities, he'll go on again and again performing impious activities. And the no pious activity can fully offset impious activities. And in fact, in performing pious activities, piety is often mixed with some impiety also. For instance, the killing of animals in sacrifice is a pious act, but there's some impiety there also, because the suffering is given to the animal, even though that is counteracted by the animal being raised to a new body. And in this world, it's practically impossible to fully separate piety from impiety. In performing a sacrifice, there should be tremendous care taken that everything is pure. The brahmanas should be fully pure, not only in their activities, but in their consciousness, which is very difficult to gauge. They should be expert in pronouncing the mantras. The time should be auspicious. The place should be auspicious. The participants should be auspicious. Even then, it may be difficult to... The desired result may not come about. It was at the beginning of the fifth canto, Maharaj Nabhi, is it, who had a sacrifice performed for getting children, and still he couldn't get it, and still he couldn't get a son. And the priests, they examined and they said, well, we're pure and you are pure in this life, but it seems that in your previous life you had some sinful act by which you can't get you can't get a son born, even despite performing the sacrifices. So to make a long story short, material activities cannot counteract sinful activities, and eventually Shukadev in this chapter of Bhagavatam will come up with the actual conclusion. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana aghandun vanti katsne nani niharamyava bhaskara. He gives the example that just as the rising sun dissipates fog, only pure devotional service can completely destroy sinful reactions with no possibility of their reviving. If there's a lot of fog, I don't think you get much fog down here in this part of the world. It doesn't get cold or moist enough, but it's down here in Vellore especially. Probably in Kodaikanal you get it, or Uti. In Delhi, certainly at this season, there'll be plenty of fog. What's the solution to the fog? Get a fan and wave it? Hopeless. Nothing. Nothing can be done to dispel the fog. Only when the sun rises, the hot sun. If the sun is not hot enough, then sometimes the fog remains also. Of course, the sun is always the same heat, but it is due to seasonal changes of the distance of the earth from the sun. Then the heat is... The full heat doesn't come. I'm not exactly sure what it is. The differences in the atmosphere and so on. And sometimes in Vrindavan, you can... The whole day, the sun will be up, but there's some... Haze, that's very common in Delhi. That's not just from fog, but that's from pollution. There's a haze over the whole city all day long, despite the sun being up. But devotional service, pure devotional service, kevala bhakti. Kevala bhakti means pure devotional service. That means without any mixture of karma or jnana or anything else. The desire for fruit of enjoyment or the desire for liberation. Actually, if we say anything else, these two categories subsume all the unlimited kinds of contaminations that the conditioned souls can aspire to in their determined refusal of Krishna's mercy. Matiana Krishna Paratasvato Vamito Bipadyeta Grihavatanam Adanta Gobhya Vishatanta Mishram Punav Punas Charavita Charvananam. Persons who are determined not to be Krishna conscious never will be. You can't force them. Even if they purport to be searching for the truth or discussing what is the truth or trying to find the truth, or they're actually told about the truth, because their real motive is to enjoy their senses, and then they do so, and they have to go to hell. And again and again and again they try to enjoy, and again and again and again they suffer. So pure devotional service is the cure for all of this. Unmotivated devotional service to Krishna, that will cut the contamination at its root. As long as the desire to enjoy this material world is there, then one will go on acting in a manner that causes one to take birth again and again and again. Nunang pramatam kurute vikarma yad indriya pritya aprinoti na sadhu manya yad atmano yama sannapi kleshada asadeha. Rishabdev Bhagavan says that persons are certainly mad who perform sinful activities simply for the sake of sense pleasure, because doing so causes them to get born again and again and again and again and to suffer again and again and again. Now, devotees are very fortunate to take to this process of devotional service, especially in this Kali Yuga, where normal life for the average person in the modern world especially means performing all kinds of sinful activities which cause them to go to hell. They may not even know. They're not interested. Even if we try to help them to know, they're not interested to know. So those who have taken to Krishna consciousness, they're very fortunate. And although in this age there's so much sinful activities are normal, the process for self-realization, God consciousness, Krishna consciousness, it's also very easy and joyful. Kevala Anandakanda. That is the Sankirtan process. Srila Prabhupada quoting him here. To perform this activity, it doesn't require much energy, much austerity. Simply join the Sankirtan movement and in ecstasy you dance and take prasadam. By this process, you are guaranteed you will never go to the hellish planet. We may not attain pure devotional service in this life, but we should certainly try for that. But at least we should not go to the, we will not go to the hellish worlds. Svaplamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. And then Prabhupada says, this Sankirtana movement is so nice. Don't disbelieve. It is in the Shastra. There are hellish planets, Srila Prabhupada says. You may disbelieve. Oh, there's some. Where's the evidence? Where's the proof? Well, Shastra itself is the proof. People may say, well, we don't believe in all this, but hell, you can see the manifestation of it on this earth. For instance, if someone has cancer, it's a very painful disease. It's like being in a hellish condition. Or torture. So many people are tortured all right now. Right now, at this very moment, there must be probably at least dozens of people all over the world being tortured, either in American prisons or in Iraq or what used to be Iraq or in Indian prisons, and it's going on. One or several human beings inflicting severe pain on another. Generally to, well, for, I don't know, for political reasons or just for out of sadism. That is a, what is the hellish planets? What is the hellish situation of being tortured? Or one may be tortured by hunger or thirst, illness, the example is given there of cancer, giving birth to children, so we're told, I don't have experience in this lifetime. Is extremely painful. I was just reading yesterday that some devotee was saying to Prabhupada how in the ambulance on the way to the hospital the women are cursing their husband. You caused this. And they say, I'll never have sex again. And then they have the baby and they have sex again. Because puna punas charvita charvananam, they forget it is the nature of material consciousness. Because we want to enjoy this world, and nature arranges that we forget the suffering, and we think of the pleasure, and we desire to enjoy it again and again, and then we have to suffer again and again and again, just like again and again chewing the chewed. So Srila Prabhupada says, don't disbelieve. There are hellish planets, they're described in Shastra, and don't disbelieve also that in Shastra. It gives us the process to become free from this. Don't be foolish, Srila Prabhupada says. Don't be foolish. We have this opportunity to be free from this hellish condition, which is inevitable. We must go to the hellish worlds. As long as we're in this material world, we must suffer hellish conditions. As long as we avoid Krishna, we may think I'll perform all pious activities and then I won't suffer hellishly, I'll only enjoy in this world. And we may think, well, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, dukhalayam ashashvatam. But he also says that you can go to the heavenly planets by yanti deva vrata devan. Those who are committed to worshipping the demigods, they go to the demigods. Krishna also says, Tetang Bhuktva Swargalokang Vishalam Kshine Punye Martya Lokang Vishanti, that after enjoying tremendous happiness, that means material happiness on the heavenly planets, one falls down again to this earthly plane. But then one thinks, well, then again, okay, I'll come down here and I'll do more pious activities and I'll go up again. So, sounds good. I don't have to do all this surrendering to Krishna. I'll just be pious and keep on going up to the heavenly worlds, but there's no guarantee. Nriga Maharaj, probably the most pious man in history in terms of performing fruitive activities for the sake of amassing pious credits for future enjoyment, he inadvertently performed some impious activity, which means that Even if you're trying to be pious, we might accidentally perform some impious activity. And as a result, he had to go to a hellish condition. So that is the material world. We can't guarantee. We may be put in a situation where we have to perform some impious act. Just that was Arjuna's. What is that? Nachasrayangshi. I don't see any good. Either fighting, not fighting. If I fight, I have to attack my gurus, which is sinful. And if I don't fight, then I have to abandon my brothers and abandon my kshatriya dharma. So either way, it doesn't seem good. So it's often like that in the material world. The choice between bad and worse. So Krishna consciousness is the solution. It cuts through this otherwise impossible to escape from situation. There's no escape from material entanglement. The only escape is by Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, don't be foolish. Time and time again, he would say this to his disciples. Don't be foolish. Here's another example of Srila Prabhupada saying this. On arriving in New York City, presumably, on July the 9th, 1976, addressing his disciples. So you have got this opportunity, Krishna consciousness. Everything is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. What is what? Do not lose this opportunity. Do not be foolish, misled by so-called scientists or philosophers or politicians. Take to Krishna consciousness. So everything there is in Bhagavad Gita. We may not be very great scholars and think that, well, I have to study this shastra, that shastra, another shastra. Ekam shastram deviki putra gita. There's one shastra is enough, Bhagavad Gita. And of course, we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And we can also read Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada gave four basic books which are required for our understanding and preaching. Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Nectar of Devotion. So we may study other books, but these four are our basic, and everything we need to know for our advancement in Krishna consciousness is in Srila Prabhupada's books. Now, of course, we may understand other things. We may study other works, and there's not necessarily any harm in that, but as Srila Prabhupada says here, do not be foolish. Whatever else we may study, we should see through the eyes of Bhagavad Gita as it is. And in fact, for most devotees, there's no need to study extensively so many things because most of them don't have time even to study Prabhupada's books very carefully. So just try to understand Bhagavad Gita as it is, and that will put everything into focus. Otherwise, we're in danger of being misled by, Prabhupada states here, so-called scientists or philosophers or politicians. They may sound very convinced, just like we had the speeches here 2 days ago. And I couldn't understand everything that was being said. Fortunately, someone wanted to translate for me, but I was not interested to hear what these Swamijis and politicians have to say, and they speak in a manner, oh, as if they're very convinced about what they're saying. But we know, without even having it translated, that it's largely a bunch of nonsense. Or even if they say yes, Krishna, Krishna, but you know, if they go somewhere else, if they go to a Shiva temple, they'll say Shiva, Shiva. The politicians, they speak what people want to hear, so that people will vote for them. Scientists also, they say, yes, life arose from matter. There's no evidence of any God. Evidence means they couldn't find God in their test tube, or they looked through their microscope and they couldn't find God, and they looked through their telescope and they couldn't find God, and said, it's proof, no God. Foolish. Don't be foolish, Srila Prabhupada. Don't be misled. They may sound very convinced. Yes, we've now discovered that everything is, consciousness is a symptom of the brain, and if we put some electrical current in this part of the brain, then you'll feel pain. And if you put it in another part of the brain, then you'll feel ecstasy. You can have a religious experience. Therefore, everything is in the brain. Of course, it doesn't answer the question that, well, okay, so electric current is going through, but who is experiencing? Chemicals are not, when we talk about experiencing, it's not chemicals. Any combination of chemicals doesn't experience anything. So don't be misled by the so-called, yes, there was a big bang, and then everything came into existence. And why was there a big bang? Don't ask questions like that. It's like the blind faith that, well, God created everything. And they say, well, we didn't see any God. And, well, we didn't see any big bang either. So you believe that everything came into existence out of nothing, and we believe that everything came into existence from God. And actually, our hypothesis is much better, because where there's such tremendous order, we can expect that there's someone to order it all, to put it into place. But the scientists are convinced, the atheistic scientists are convinced, that there's no God. So we should not be misled. Don't be foolish, Prabhupada said. Philosophers, so many philosophers, they may read so many books and come up with some theory, or they may interpret Srila Prabhupada in so many ways. This is wrong, that is wrong. But we can see, practically, those who take to Krishna consciousness under the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, even if they come from a very fallen background, that they become spiritually situated. Spiritually situated is, that means they don't act for sense gratification, they act only for the pleasure of Krishna. Of course, when we say that people are coming from a very sinful background, that particularly refers to people in the Western countries, but increasingly, the same kind of very sinfulness is there, or here in India also, as especially in the bigger cities, the young people especially, they have no idea of anything, nothing, no teaching of Bhagavad Gita, nothing. And they just take it as normal that boys mix with girls and there's illicit sex and so on and so on and so on. So there may be various philosophers who say that, well, you have to have an Indian guru, or Brahmin, or something like that. But where are the Brahmanas? They're mostly in America, working for some beef eater to get some money, or some of them are in Bangalore working for maybe not beef eaters, but at least mutton eaters and egg eaters, and they're not Brahmins. Or there may be some traditional Brahmanas still. But they're not going to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. They have no clue how to do so, nor are they any clue that they should be doing so. They're mostly concerned with avoiding other people. how to not touch them or see them. And traditionally, the Brahmins are more concerned with untouchability. Don't touch others. Well, how are you going to preach to them? Then they think that you lost your Brahminhood if you go to the Western countries. So, all right, then not be a Brahmin, but be a Vaishnav. That's more. So various philosophies arise. Even they may be supposed to be based in Shastra. Shankaracharya is... his teachings seem to be based in Shastra, but they're wrong, patently wrong. They don't make any sense. All is one and one is all. The only thing is, we forgot it. But if we're all one, then how do we forget it? If there's only Kevala Advaita, there's only oneness, then how do we perceive two-ness? Well, it's all just an illusion. Well, that means there's a difference between illusion and non-illusion, and again you get two-ness. So it's complete nonsense. So how to get out. We're in a position of foolishness. How can we understand what is the reality? That we have to go Mahajano Yenagata Sapanta. We should find out from those great personalities. Dharmasya Tattvam Nihitam Guhayam, who've captured the essence of all religion within their hearts. So don't be foolish. Again and again, Prabhupada is exhorting. Don't be foolish. We have this process of Krishna consciousness. It clearly works. And even the more pious of non-devotees, they can perceive that Krishna consciousness is something very special. And that's why here in India, many people are very appreciative of our movement. When in the Supreme Court, there's some court cases going on between the Ritvik Vadis, who by legal manipulation have stolen the temple, ISKCON temple in Bangalore, and claim it to be under their control. And so there's a court case going on. And the Supreme Court judge referred to this revered institution. So it is got, even the non-devotees who are somewhat pious can understand that this is something very special, this movement. Even Muslims who really don't have much to do with all these kind of things, many of them, they can also understand that. Well, there are so many different Hindu movements, but this Hare Krishna, ISKCON, that's something somewhat special. In Bangladesh, I know that there's a majority Muslim country, but the people, most of the Muslims there, at least the educated Muslims there, all know about our movement. Many of the non-educated do also. They understand that this is something very special and very pure to follow such principles, rising early, full dedication to Krishna, and not various rules and regulations have to be followed. And many of them, they also come to our programs because they're public programs and people are curious, and many Muslims come to our programs also. And they can understand there's something very substantial and special here. Definitely there is, because the holy name of Krishna is none different from Krishna. The Krishna consciousness given to us by Srila Prabhupada is a pure and powerful current, Krishna Shakti Bina Nahe Tara Pravata, imbued with the energy of Krishna, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who wants to deliver this world. But the power of Maya is so strong that even if we're in this current, this powerful current of bhakti, we may start to doubt, we may start to feel that there's no good, or something wrong here, or there may be things wrong if we're not following exactly, but the process itself is pure. The process itself is powerful. Maya is also powerful. So we have to keep good association. Don't be misled by so-called scientists, politicians, philosophers. Hear Srila Prabhupada, what he has to say. Stick to the path he has given. Don't be foolish, as Srila Prabhupada said in another lecture. Again, don't be foolish. By the grace of Krishna, you have first-class intelligence, those who have taken to Krishna consciousness. Now, try to continue it. Don't give it up. Don't be foolish. Mudha. Continue. Then you will be happy and all problems of life will be solved. Continue. Sometimes we find various problems, domestic problems or health problems. We think, oh, it's too much. Just too difficult to follow this Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says, don't be foolish. Keep to the good intelligence. Stick to the process, whatever happens. Whatever problems we may have, they will all ultimately be solved by Krishna consciousness. Any other way we try to solve them will mean that we have to remain in this material world to suffer more and more and more problems. So, don't be foolish. Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please?
In relation to the devotees,
Devotees enjoying prasad is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I don't know where this is going, but let's see what it's got to do with Don't Be Foolish. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada talks about enjoying prasad, and another section he says we shouldn't enjoy. So, often we, as in use of language, even among non-devotees, certainly in discussion of Shastra and in discussion of Srila Prabhupada's teachings, we have to understand terms contextually. So when Srila Prabhupada says, don't try to enjoy, that means don't try to conceive of ourselves as an enjoyer. I am the enjoyer. This is meant for my enjoyment. But devotees enjoy prasad, thinking that, what do they think? Sharira vidya jal dharandriya tehe kal jibe phile vishaya sagare tarma jiba ati loba moisha dharmati taake jetha katin shangshare. Krishna Bharadaya Mai Karibari Jibha Jai Shaprasadana Dilo Bhai Shenamrita Pao Radha Krishna Gunagao Premira Kochetan. This is the way devotees enjoy, knowing that this material body is a network of senses which drag us to hell, but Krishna has kindly given us this prasadam so that we can conquer over material life. So let us take that prasad, calling out the names of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. We can also enjoy. This is so delicious. Krishna has enjoyed this. Ekbar Shanti Pore. What is that? Ek din Shanti Pore Advaita Prabhur Gore Dui Bhai Bhojane Boshalo. Shakari Ashadan Prabhu Bale Bhaktagon Esha Krishna Ashadila. One day in Shantipur, Prabhu Radhaita Raghari, in the house of Advaita Acharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda sat down to take prasad. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted shak, the spinach prasad, he said, Krishna has tasted this. Esha Krishna Ashad. Shakari Ashadan. Shankari Ashadan, Krishna Prem, Ashadane, Krishna Prem, Aishemani. By tasting this, Krishna Prem will come in your mind. So, in this way, devotees enjoy thinking Krishna has enjoyed. Oh, it's so nice how Krishna has enjoyed this. So, it's different as devotees enjoy, but as subordinate enjoyers, not as not putting themselves first. Yeah, anything else? If we're fully Krishna conscious, all problems will be solved. That's the only ultimate solution. But that doesn't change the nature of this material world, which is full of problems. That will always be full of problems. Our own personal problem of being born and dying, and that will be solved. But it's the nature of this material world that it is problematic. That doesn't mean that we're not liable to fall down the stairs and break our leg, for instance. It can happen at any time. But ultimately, we'll be safe from all problems. And we'll understand, even if I do fall down and break my leg, I have to go on chanting Hare Krishna. That's not my worst problem. My real problem is if I don't chant Hare Krishna. But this world will go on in its way. But if people become Krishna conscious, then the world situation will change also. Directly and indirectly. Directly means that we won't be having all factories, therefore there won't be pollution, and with all the problems that come from that. And indirectly, because Krishna will be pleased, and his wife Bhumi Devi will be pleased, then kamang vavarsha kaparjanyo, the rain will fall exactly as desired, as needed, and so on.
But most of us don't seem to have that luxury.
No, we don't have that level of pure Krishna consciousness. That's a fact. That's why Prabhupada is telling us to come to that level. He's assuring us that this is what we need to do to come to the level of pure Krishna consciousness. There's no other solution. Hare Krishna. So we'll finish there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.